Have you tried connect to the Zoom yet? There you go. That's a recorder.
Why is it asking me to launch the meeting? I don't think it's typical to get down.
Do you have Zoom up and running? There we go. I'm making you co-host. Now change your... So the place where we got...
I got my audio on here. I can make the audio go there. Speakers. That's happening. Then as far as the video, that video. Hey, Bob, give us a minute. We're getting organized.
Good morning.
So, okay, as much as I turned it on, I need to power it back down.
The easiest way is start it from power off. When it first comes up, it asks you, how do you want to be connected? It's got webcam, and you hit enter. And then you have to say yes, yes.
Okay.
All right. So if you want to start your video on Zoom.
Yeah, yeah, there it is right there.
Yeah.
So start on Zoom. So, there it is. So the camera's working. It's right there.
Go ahead and set the Mississippi 500. That's your output HDMI. Be careful. And if your input, go back to your input. You want it to be the microphone.
Yeah.
Sam's getting his watch.
You get your bacon.
Right now, it's not working.
The one's not working?
They're trying to get it to work. Right now, there's a picture of the room where the breakfast is, but it's frozen, and it's not.
I don't think that's the computer then.
No, it's on
them. Okay.
It's on their end.
Okay.
So they're trying to do what they can. Did you get your Wordle?
No, I got stuck. Yes, did you get yesterday? It was Nash. G-N-A-S-H. Oh. Nash. Nash
Pete. No, I did not.
That was a bugger.
Did you get it yesterday?
I did. I may have to take my own car and run once I'm there. I'm not going to get there fast enough, otherwise, to open it. You can take your Vita.
Oh, that's true. I've got the Passat here.
Bob, you hear us over here?
There you are. I can hear you. I can see you up in the far corner, the little picture and picture of a guy ready to take a golf swing, but it froze.
It did.
They're giving golf lessons today.
Yeah. Let's see. Hey, we're back. Okay, I'm going to need to turn your microphone on. I'll do that right now. Bob, you hear us? Check.
Yeah, I can hear you good. I can hear the background and all that.
No worries. Ben sent me a private message. He goes, the center is there. That's all.
So you were coming here.
Yes.
R A.
It's okay.
No. There was a movement here, so
it had some like Def Leppard or some character who's not normally an active movies. And the premise of it, Tom Selleck, and they had bullets that would follow you wherever you would go. They're like little guy that could say, I don't normally think about that in terms of prayer,
right?
But that's what's coming to my mind this morning. I want to get some food.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bob, can you hear us okay?
I can hear you okay. If it's not going to work, just let me know. I've got plenty
of
stuff.
We're good. I think we finally have a camera, two computers, five experts, and it's coming together.
Okay.
And some prayer.
So, how do you stop this, Kevin? This thing, Kevin. I'm going to stop sharing his screen. And
he's okay. He's had a. How do they like that?
You guys do anything last weekend for fun?
Camera issues.
Things around the house. We're getting ready in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we did actually. We went down to Columbus.
River walking.
We went rafting one day. That was pretty cool. Another day we went bike riding all along the river. It's a river walk that goes for like 15 miles. I didn't do it, but Nisa's son, his friend at Brooks went zip lining the next day. So, yeah, it was. I suppose this is a nice little place to go for just a weekend.
Went
across the bridge. Yeah, this hotel downtown. It's pretty new, I think. It has a rooftop bar. You can get a lot of food up there. But it looks over the river and you can see on the other side. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I tried to keep my list.
I talked to Terry Powers. He called me yesterday.
Oh, good.
Yeah, thanks for passing that on.
On the recruiting trail for men's breakfast speakers. And Terry was willing. And he's like, yeah, it'd be great. Love to speak. And it's the first time that I think I talked to him. Maybe I talked to him through a greet or saying hello through the door.
Yeah.
But he seemed really nice guy. I swear, though, no joke. Wake up early, person. Speak and say these sort of things. 2 days in a row, I had Bob said, yeah, I want to speak. Bob's going to speak in November. And Jim Dowen. This is all in a few days. They're like, yeah, I'll speak in November, December. Yeah, move a couple people around, actually. So I'm hoping Terry's like, yeah, I can speak in October. I seem to think about it. I need to figure out my work schedule. So, any event, please. It seems to come together.
Always. So. I knew I
can
do that.
All right. I'm gonna jump up and get this going.
Yeah. So best of both.
I'm telling you,
Gentlemen, we'll go ahead and kick off our breakfast for this morning. Certainly want to say thanks again to our breakfast crew. Leo, I know you're sliding out there, but thank you again for setting up. Steve, for setting up. So I'll extend that again. Yeah, there's Leo. So as our team, we go through announcements first. So the first announcement that I have would be around having the Mullen-Dotson Golf Tournament. Think of yourself being in a big stadium, Jordan Hare, right? For our Auburn fans, thank you.
Why?
Sorry. So we have Rob Hamilton with us today. Rob's the golf tournament director. So Rob, why don't you share what's going on with Mullen-Dotson and events happening in the RUMC Foundation?
Absolutely, thank you. I apologize in advance because that's why I haven't shook any hands or given any hugs this morning because I have a horrible, horrible cold. My child brought home to the house, wrapped in a bow, and she's going to find a new place to live. right. Normally, I have a lot of funny jokes that I lead into this with, but I'm going to be honest. About 10 o'clock last night, I took NyQuil, so I don't, right now, I'm not very funny. And I practiced some of them in the car a couple of days ago, too. So the Malone Dodson Memorial Golf Tournament is coming up on October 9th. It's going to be a tremendous amount of fun, as it always is. We have moved the golf tournament. It has been at Woodmont in Canton for 5 or 6 years now. And we have decided to move it back to Roswell. So the tournament is back in Roswell. We're going to play at the Country Club of Roswell on October 9th. And this was due to a couple of reasons. I've been asked, so I have answers. Woodmont was purchased by another company, huge national, international golf club owning company. And they decided they did not want to do golf tournaments anymore. They're just a pay-to-play kind of golf club and for members. So they didn't kick us out, but they made it really easy for us to leave by not offering any of the things that they normally do. And I and Bob Hagen both felt it was very weird to start with. Like, I don't understand. You always do this for us. Until the golf pro there told us that no, that's, they don't want to do this anymore. So as this minute the last one was over, Bob and I started making phone calls. And we found this crew at the Country Club of Roswell, and they were ecstatic. They actually wanted Roswell United Methodist Church there. First thing that impressed us, they rolled out the red carpet. They met everything that we asked for, and they are going to be amazing for us on that day. So if you can, please, by all means, at least sign up to play or sponsor. I have a bunch of these over here that if you would like it, as information about the tournament, also a registration form for player registration and a sponsorship page as well. We have picked up some more sponsors by coming back to Roswell. Businesses that were not sponsoring while we were in Canton, because even though we explained to them, everyone playing in this tournament is from Roswell. It's just held in Canton. Their responses were typically, I don't do business in Canton. But the people, you're not making a connection. So I was like, okay, understand. So we moved it back to Roswell. We called these people back, and they immediately went, you're back in Roswell? Oh, yeah, we're in. I'll do a $1,500 sponsorship or whatever. Okay. So people are signing up to sponsor that had not before, which is great for our foundation. Now, all of this money benefits the foundation. It's their fall fund drive and supports the operations of the endowments, which, by the way, if you didn't know, I'll name off a couple. Pay for mission trips and students travel, college scholarships, supports local nonprofits like Murphy Harps Children's Center, North Fulton Community Charities, Reborn Minds, Camp Grace, Wesley Woods Foundation, Homestretch, and a lot more. Delivers support to mission partners around the world here at home. And that is about one third of the list. So most of it is on here. You can always get more by going to rumcf.org. And you can see everything that the foundation does. If you would like to register for one of the two events, the second one I want to talk about in a second, is you just go to rumcf.org/events. Both events are listed on that page. So year before last, we decided to come up with a secondary event to the Malone Dodson Golf Tournament. And that is our Par T Night Out.
Golf show,
par, team, night out. It's a blast. It's fun. We had the first one at a local home here. We had in Roswell. We had the second one at Bob Hagen's house. And this year, again, it's going to be at Bob Hagen's house. It's just too perfect of a venue to have a have a fall party in. So we're going to go back there again this year. The ticket prices are now down to just covering food cost. They're $1 now with a $25 suggested donation. They were $100, but what we decided to do was bring in more people as opposed to try to make that a fundraising arm of the weekend. And we are now holding it on the weekend after the golf tournament because we are going to use it as another opportunity to celebrate the players in the tournament and recognize them as well. So it's October 14th, the party, Saturday, October 14th, that evening. So a lot of changes going on from last year's tournament to this year's tournament. Also, there will be a portion of the tournament also in honor of and memoriam of our 26-year committee member, George Waite, who passed away between last year's tournament and this year's tournament. So it's still the Malone Dodson Memorial Golf Tournament, but George did so much for this tournament and so much for this church and for everyone in it that we are honoring George at this event and the future events moving forward as well. So I have these over here. Again, it's rumcf.org/events. I have a stack of these that I'm going to put on this table right here. If you would like one for paper registration instead of online, or if you would like one for more information on the sponsorships or to find out more about it, please take one of those as well. Does anybody have any questions? No? No questions?
Okay. You need volunteer support?
We do need a few more volunteers. Yeah, we do. You can find that on our website as well. You can also reach out to Sue Whitner and Bridges, and they run our volunteer section. It's going to be laid out pretty much the same. It's going to be, registration, bag drop, welcome play. It's a Fort Lauderdale scramble. I'm already getting questions from Pete Smith and some other folks about people are getting excited about it, the ones that play in it every year, because they're already, I took a call yesterday for Pete Smith, Pete and Kay Smith, who said, okay, so let's talk about I'm playing from the forward tees now because I have, I've had a surgery or whatever. So what does that do to my handicap? And I told Pete, I was like, this is over a month away, right? And he was like, but I'm trying to figure out my plan right now. So I was like, so Pete's a great guy who supports the tournament at a silver sponsorship level, which is $2,500 every year. So I walked through the forward tees and the handicaps with him gladly on the phone yesterday. If you know of anyone in Roswell, a business in Roswell that would like to become a sponsor, you can put them in touch with me if you would. You can just do that golf@rumc.org if you want to send that email. Okay. And there's no more questions. All right. Thank you guys.
Yeah, thanks so much, Rob. I think, as we know, the foundation does so much for the church here, for providing scholarships for high school, college kids, grounds, maintenance. I mean, so many different items, to say the least. And I served on the foundation for a few years, and I really enjoyed that. It's amazing all the good works that they go about doing. What other announcements do we have? Talked about it in last month's men's breakfast. We have Bible studies that are happening. Disciple One, Mr. Fletcher, going to kick that off middle of next month. So that's an opportunity. Any other announcements? All right. Well, then we'll get right into the presentation here. So probably to our newest member in the congregation here. Here he is. We have Dr. Ben Mayfield. So real excited to get to know you. Really want to use this as an opportunity maybe for some Q&A and see what else, what other plans, ideas you have going on. But certainly on behalf of the congregation again here, welcome you to the church and so glad to have you part of the family. So let's hear it for Dr. Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Excited to be here with y'all today. It's the first time I've been to Roswell and it was nighttime. arriving here very early. But I love it. I'm here to give you a little bit about who I am, since most of you, it's probably the first time I've met you. My name is Ben Mayfield. I'm from Dahlonega, or as y'all call it, Dahlonega. Little joke there. Okay. All right. Dahlonega. All right. It's a tough crowd. So, City of Gold. Love it. My parents, teachers, brother's a teacher. And so I kind of followed in that footsteps and was a school teacher for a while. But if y'all know Jeff Ross at all, I don't know if y'all are familiar with that crazy guy. Jeff was the pastor at Dahlonega UMC, and that's where I was a college intern. And then I went to Coming First. Jeff went to Coming First, and then a couple of years into it, he called me and said, "Hey, you want to be the youth pastor and lead that teaching gig?" I said, "Absolutely. Dodgeball and Jesus, can't beat it." And so then he, after a year, he left Coming. I was like, "Okay, Jeff, you brought me here," then he left. And then a couple of years later, he called me and said, "Hey, would you be interested in coming to Roswell?" And I said, "I don't know. Are you going to abandon me the first year I'm there?" He said, no, this is a great place. And so that's kind of how I got here. But I wanted to share a little bit about my testimony, if that's okay with y'all, this morning. And my testimony, the key word that sticks to my mind is the word relationships. And there was three really big moments that defined me going towards Christ. And I love how, you know, we talk about testimonies, and sometimes we don't really want to talk about our testimonies because we've you've heard someone tell a crazy story, like I had to swim across a river and escape, you know, a hostile environment. And in order to know Jesus, you're like, I was just sad and I needed Jesus. And like, so you compare your stories and you feel terrible about it. I don't know if anyone ever has ever felt that way at all, but a testimony is a test, you know, it's something that you went through, and this story that's uniquely yours, and it's uniquely how you connect with God. And so I encourage us to not be shy to tell our testimonies and share how we got to know God. And it was 2010. I was a senior in high school. Shows you how old I am. Oldest one in the group, probably. And so, yeah, feel free to laugh. It was a pity laugh. I'll take it. Made me feel better. And I was dating this girl. Oh, my gosh, she was awesome. She was pretty. She smelled nice. What more could you ask in a relationship? And she was fantastic. And we were kind of like best friends in high school, and then kind of started dating, and, you know, I got out of the friend zone, so I felt like a champion. And so we started dating, and at the end of, I graduated in May, we worked at a summer camp together, which was like awesome. So you're like, oh, best relationship. And then in August of that year, she called me up and said, "Hey, listen, I don't want to date you anymore." And it hurt. It hurt really bad, because it felt like I wasn't just losing, you know, a girlfriend, I was losing someone that I really cared about for multiple years. We dated and knew each other for best friends since junior year, so 2 years. And I hurt. It hurt really bad, especially being 18 years old and, you know, thought this was the love of your life. I also, during that same kind of summer, a little bit before that, one of my best friends that I've known since middle school, his name is Will Helms. I'll call him out because we're good now. But we're playing a game called Ultimate Frisbee. I don't know if you ever played Ultimate Frisbee. It's a competitive, you know, disc game. And we got in a fight, which is very typical for high school boys when it comes to, like, sports. And the whole fight was based on, like, when you throw the disc and you catch the disc, are you allowed to take a step or not take a step? That was the whole fight. Because I caught it next to the end zone, and I took a step in. I was like, boom, we scored. And he was like, no, you can't take a step. So I'm pretty sure you can take a step. And then we started fighting, and we started pushing each other and getting into a physical altercation, and our other friends had to come and separate us. And we didn't talk to each other. That was in January of that year. And so then that relationship was hurting. And then the girlfriend relationship. And so all these big pillars of my life were crumbling. You know, it's your best friend, it's your girlfriend. And then in July of that year, 2010. I go home for the weekend from the summer camp, and my mom sits my brother and I down, my dad, and they tell us that she is diagnosed with cancer. And we're like, whew. And we knew she medically retired because she was having some breathing issues, but we didn't know it was cancerous. And so that hit us, and it hit us wild. And then the girlfriend, we broke up in August, but right before that, I told her this, and my mom never told me this. This is one of those weird moments. I'm sitting with my girlfriend, and I told her, you know, my mom told us that we had cancer, and she was very apologetic. And I said, she only has maybe 4 months to live. And she said, what? I'm like, I don't know. It's just blah, blah, blah. And afterwards, I was like, why did I say that? Like, I don't know why I said that. My mom never said that. It's like, and I felt at first, like, did I just lie to get sympathy? Like, you don't need sympathy. Your mom has cancer. Like, what, double on that? But what I think was realizing was God was working in a really particular way. And with that, I medically retiring, we were two teacher salaries. And sometimes it's hard to explain this to people, but you know, if one teacher makes like $50,000, another teacher makes $50,000, and you have $100,000 income, they between the two, one loses their job. Well, you live like in $100,000 lifestyle, and that cuts in half. So that's what happened to us financially. And so I was supposed to go to UGA, go Dawgs, and my dad had to tell me, we can't afford to go Dawgs. You can go to North Georgia where it's cheaper. And so I can live at home. And so I go to apply to North Georgia, which is in Dahlonega. And then they say, hey, you're too late to apply because this was July. We can accept you for January. So then I had to go to Gainesville State College, which is the home of the fighting geese. And it no longer go Dawgs to go geese. Yeah. A little bit of a downgrade. But I tell you this because it felt like, especially for an 18-year-old, you've lost your best friend. You've lost this girlfriend. You've lost the dream school that you want to go to. And then on top of that, your mom has cancer, right? And it was all these things that were just crumbling in my life. And I felt helpless. I felt defeated. I felt like there was this huge void in my heart. And on top of that, too, we were not churchgoers. We didn't go to church. We didn't grow up going to church. Not to blame teachers, but they're like, Sundays is a day to sleep in. Love my parents, but that's just the way that they were. And so we didn't go to church. And so I was in this really dark place in my life, this sad place in my life. But one of the cool things that happened was my brother was off in college. My dad was working regular school and then teaching night school. And so I only had class at Gainesville 2 days a week, which meant I was home Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with my mom, who was there medically retired. And then one day in November, my mom had a nosebleed and it wouldn't stop bleeding. And she had this oxygen tube that went through her nose so she could breathe, you know, get oxygen, and it kept messing with it. So I went to the hospital, and they couldn't get it to stop bleeding. So I was like, all right, we're here. You know, we got to take care of it. And so the doctors go, well, we need to do a blood transfusion because you've lost the blood and something. I am a doctor, but not that type of doctor. And so it was something like that with some craziness. So they did a blood transfusion. And if you don't know what that is, it means they, like, take all the blood out and put new blood in. I think that's kind of the simplistic term of blood transfusion. But when they did that, the blood had white oxygen cells that were like brand new, and they were like super hypercharged because it's, you know, good oxygen blood. And they aggressively attacked the cancer that was going on in her body. And so that was a Tuesday. That Saturday, they had to put her in an induced coma. And I remember we're all in there, and it was weird. You know, I'm 18 years old, but I'm going like, okay, this is normal. It's a doctor stuff. Like, they're doing their doctor thing. It'll be fine. And I remember my dad walked out, and then my brother walked out, and I was the last one. And I told my mom, I love you. Sorry, I get emotional. They put her in an induced coma, and then that following Tuesday, we get the phone call that basically her body was working in a sprint, and her heart gave out. It wasn't the cancer, technically, it was a heart attack. And my mom passed away November 23rd. And, oh gosh. And so there was one more huge relationship, and it was from my family, it was my mom, that just got taken away from me. Sorry. I don't really talk about it a lot because it is a very emotional topic. Woo, man. So that spring, I was looking for anything and everything to fill that void in my heart. And you can use your imagination what that might have been. I was a young college kid, and I was trying to fill the void, and I could not fill it. It was hurting. It was, I was lost. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. And then a high school buddy of mine who was home for the holidays or home for like a weekend or something, invited me to go to Dahlonega UMC youth group. And I said, why would I go to a youth group? I'm in college. That's weird. And he said, well, I'm an alumni and I'm going to go see it. Maybe you should come with me. Just, you know, we'll hang out afterwards. And I said, okay. So we go to the youth group and, you know, they're playing games and they go into worship. And they played this song. There's two songs that really stood out to me. One was Set a Fire Down in My Soul That I Can't Contain, That I Can't Control. I Want More of You, God. And when I heard that, it hit me in a weird way. I was like, oh, what is this? And then the second song they played, there's this line that says, your love never fails, it never gives up, and it never runs out on me. And for a guy who was searching for something, unconditional love, unconditional grace, and unconditional acceptance from a power, I walked out of the youth house, like, because I was feeling what now is the Holy Spirit, but for right then I didn't know what was going on. And the youth minister, his name is Chris Davis, he's still there, he's a powerful influence in my life, walks out, doesn't know me, and says, hey, let's take a walk. And what's incredible is he was the one that's supposed to get the message. So when he wasn't in there, someone else was like, we'll do something else. But he felt like I had to go do this. And he walked out with me, and I was telling him these relationships, my best friend, my girlfriend, my mom. I was telling him all these things. And then I just broke down crying, and I said, I needed something more. And he said, I think what you need is Jesus, and we're going to pray for you. And I accepted Christ right there on the sidewalk next to DMC. And I just bawled out crying. He prayed for me, and I've never stopped coming to church since. And I think what was God was trying to show me was the ultimate relationship that I needed was his relationship with God, and to grow in that faith. And every other relationship is maybe good, maybe wondrous, but it's not the relationship compared to God's relationship. And so with that, that's kind of how I got to know God. But really, my mentor, Chris, walked beside me. And I remember Mark 10:27 says, for the man it's impossible, with God all things are possible. But it also says it in Matthew. And I remember going, Chris, I disproved the Bible. Like, it says in it twice. It's a double print. Like, how did y'all not catch this? And he goes, I mean, I didn't grow up in church, okay? So this is where I'm coming with, like, fresh eyes. And he's like, do you know what the gospel is? Do you know that there's, like, four people telling kind of the same story of Jesus? I was like, no. But could you tell me what it means? And so, like, that's where my knowledge was at that time. And Chris walked with me. And he didn't shun me like, oh, you're an idiot for not knowing. How do you not know that? Go read your Bible. He walked with me. He coached me. He said, hey, that's great. Let's go look at this scripture. Let's go walk by this. And I had tons of questions. And he probably got annoyed with it, but he was always patient. He always walked beside me. And he encouraged me to ask questions because I was wanting to learn and know more. And so the scripture that stood out to me was James 1:22. And this is CEB translation, but it says, you must be doers of the word and not only hearers who mislead themselves. Those who hear but do not do the word are like those who look at their faces in a mirror. They look at themselves, walk away, and immediately forget what they were like. And it goes to continue, but what I love about it is like, do not merely read the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And I know the book of James sometimes can be controversial in the reverend world, but I love it because it said, if you're having this inside transformation, it should change the way you talk to people, the way that you speak to people, the way that you love people, the way that you look at them and go, you may be politically different. You may look physically different. You may do different things than I do, but you're still a child of God. And I'm going to love you because I've experienced that on the inside. Now, I may not agree with everything that you do, but I'm going to love you. And I love that because it was so real for me. And Chris exemplified that with walking with me saying, I'm going to love you, not just go, man, I've heard the word and it sounds good. I'm actually going to walk it out. And so my challenge, I know we'll do a little Q&A if y'all have any questions, but the challenge that I really want to do for this men's group is there are a lot of young gentlemen in our youth group. There's a lot. And last night we had Bible study, and one of the kids, freshman, that's 14 to 15 years old, people, was struggling with alcohol, was struggling with drinking. One was struggling with going to parties and having temptation with ladies, right? These are real things that these gentlemen are struggling with. They're also struggling with depression, anxiety, loneliness. And they don't know how to maybe comprehend or how to express themselves because the world tells them we must be men and be tough and not have, you know, anyone let us know that we have a heart inside because, you know, that shows weakness and we're not weak. And it's like, no, man, Jesus was the most intimate, heartfelt person. And so what I love about it, too, is like God has given us the opportunity to have a men's group that can walk beside them. A lot of them, their parents don't go to our church or to any church. So they're here because a friend invited them. They're here because the Holy Spirit led them here. They're here for whatever reason, and they need someone to walk beside them, right? And it's not just if you're like, man, Ben, I don't do well with high school or middle school. There's also young men from 20 to 35 to 40 who probably need mentorship, who need someone to walk beside them, to show what it means to be a man of God, who raises a family, who raises kids. And so I ask you, who are you pouring into while they're on their faith journey? Is who are you pouring into? You know, Paul was a teacher. Paul poured into Timothy. Paul poured into the churches, right? He's a perfect example. You can't go, well, I can't be like Jesus. Well, that's great. Look at the disciples. They poured into people. And so not to chastise you, but I'm saying is, man, y'all are men. You are men of the church. You're here at 6:45 a.m. for a men's group. Surely you know something or believe in the Bible and you believe in what God has taught you. It's like, man, if you've been poured into, can you pour out to somebody? Because if you're not pouring out, then why do you need to be poured into? Well, because we want God to love us and know God. I get that. But we got to pour out to people. And so that's like, I don't know. And if you're nervous about it, be like Chris. Be someone who can just walk with them, ask questions, listen. Just listen to people. Sometimes we don't have to have the answers. If you're afraid that a kid or a young adult is going to ask you a question, you're like, well, I'm not a theologian. I don't know the answer to it. You don't have to know the answer. They just need someone to be consistently there with them and to walk with them. So who are you pouring into? And then the last question is, how could you grow by walking along with others? How could you spiritually grow if you're walking along with others? Those are the two questions I have, because ultimately all those people need the relationship with Jesus. So that's kind of my testimony, my talk. I will open up for Q&A. Is that a thing? I don't know. Does anyone have any questions or any snarky remarks or, you know, maybe it's like a math question. I don't know. Yeah.
Dr. Ben, tell us about how you decided to go back and finish school.
Well, that's a great question. I got my bachelor's in education, and I was a school teacher. I taught eighth grade social studies, and I loved it. But I taught inner city, and a lot of times the kids didn't know anything about Georgia history. But what they were craving was a relationship with Jesus, because they had dads or brothers that were in jail or in prison. They had single moms that were raising three kids at home. There was drug addiction. And it was like really hard to tell them about James Oglethorpe. I don't know if y'all know who that is.
Yeah.
Versus telling them about Jesus Christ. And so, like, because how many of y'all know how many regions we have in Georgia? We have five. It's a standard that I have to teach the students. But when you see the brokenness, you're like, that really doesn't matter. What really matters is that you don't have to fall in the same trap that your father fell into or your brother fell into, or that you don't have to drop out of school at 16 to go get a job because you feel like that's what you have to do, or, you know, whatever it is, like, know that you're loved. And that broke my heart. And so I left education to come work into ministry. And that's where Jeff Ross came in, and he helped me get that position at Coming First. And so I worked there as the youth minister, and that was fantastic. And so just because my parents were teachers, my mom was a teacher, my dad's now a principal, I was like, I'll go get my master's degree. You know, why not? You know, I got time. And so I got my master's. I did not go to get an MDiv. Instead, I did education. And because my idea at the time was, well, I might go back to education. I don't know. So then I got a master's degree. And then I graduated, and I was talking to my dad. In the education world, there's an EDS degree. It's like between a master's and a doctorate. I don't know if there's any teachers out here, but anyways. And so I was asking my dad, like, hey, like, which one should I get, the EDS or the doctorate, or should I just, like, be done with it? And he's like, dude, go get the doctorate. Sounds awesome. I said, okay. And so I enrolled. And it was funny, my dad had an EDS, and he was a principal. And so I enrolled at Liberty University to get my doctorate in education. And my dad was like, wait, you can't get your doctorate if I don't have my doctorate. That's not fair. So he enrolled to get his doctorate like a month after me. And this little punk, love you, Dad, has his EDS. So he was able to transfer credits from his EDS and got ahead of me. And so I was like, what? Oh, come on, Dad. But it was also a blessing because he had to do his dissertation first. And so, like, when I had questions, he had his paper. So I was like, yes. And then Liberty only does one commencement in May. So it doesn't matter if you graduate in August or December. So we actually got to walk across the stage together. They announced it to everybody. We got a state of ovation. They're like, father, son, graduates. You know, I was like, that's cool. So that's where I got my doctorate in education. It is not in theology. It's in how to engage people in the classroom. So that's what my dissertation was about, engagement. So hopefully you felt engaged today. If not, to return to diploma. So, any other questions? All right. Thank you.
Also. Well, I guess I have a question.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
How are you engaging with the students now? Like, I know you changed I have a seventh grader. I know you changed the Sunday night, you know, to be a little bit earlier. But what's different here since you've kind of taken over?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the most important things is I want to get a lay of the land, and I want to start building relationships. I know sometimes churches have, especially youth programs, but even big church too, has a tendency to want to go lean towards the entertainment side of church. And I want to lean more towards the engagement side, because you can entertain without engaging, but engagement may bring entertainment, but it's more critical for them to build that relationship, not only with me to them, but that relationship with Jesus. And so that's kind of been a little more where I'm focused about is we're going to do less of the
the fancy hoodah. We're going to go more focus on scripture and focus on relationship with Jesus. I did move the time. It was 6 to 8, and I moved to 4:30 to 6:30 for a couple reasons. One, it gets dark real late or real early, especially in the fall and winter. And so people can drive home, and it won't be as pitch black because they have a lot of high schoolers. Also, people can get schoolwork done. If they still want to have dinner with their family, 6:30 is not a late time to have dinner with their family. So it kind of gives them a little bit more time and not so much time from when church ended to when youth group starts, you know, 6 hours versus 4 hours. You know, they might go, I'm already home. I'm already eating dinner here. I'll just stay here. And then one of the things we didn't have is we didn't have a consolidated Bible study. We had like six different Bible studies that all had like five people in them. And so I said, all right, we're going to not squash those. We're going to consolidate those into one Bible study. And it's been awesome. We had like last night we had about 22 high schoolers. But the week before that, we had about 35. We had Labor Day. Roswell was still like not in school. So maybe that's why it was a little lower. But they had like 30-ish, 35-ish high schoolers there from all different schools. And we're learning from the book of Daniel. And each week, we're doing a chapter of the book. We're going through each chapter and learning scripture. And what's really cool about it is sometimes we think Daniel go, oh, lion's den. Or Daniel, Rashad, Meshach, and Abednego. Boom, got it, got the highlights. Well, that's two chapters of eight chapters total. So that's six more chapters of this incredible testimony from King Nebuchadnezzar, who's just as critical of a person as Daniel is in the first four chapters. And then like from chapter four, chapter five, there's a 20-year gap that doesn't even say it in scripture. You have to like learn it and then tell people. And then you see that, you know, King Belshazzar, which at first I thought was Daniel because he was also known as Belshazzar, but it's spelled slightly different, pronounced probably the same because I'm from Georgia. But King Belshazzar, and here's this person who had only 20 years from his grandfather, King Nebuchadnezzar, 20 years. And yet King Nebuchadnezzar had this huge transformation of like, oh, this is who God is. Like, I want to be about God. 20 years later, his grandson goes to worship gold, silver, iron, wood, all this. And it, like, to me, it was like, it can be that fast of a separation from a generation from leaning the way towards Christ. That's how much of a separate it can be. It's one generation. It's like, yeah, I'm going back to my old ways. And so we're sitting there and we're talking about it. And we're talking with the students of like, all right, so you're not King Belshazzar who's had all this gold, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he's looking for those items to find meaning, to find power, to find fulfillment. What are we looking for in our life? Do a parallel of our life that we're looking for. Is it our intelligence? Is it our athletic ability? Is it our popularity? Is it how many friends we have? Is that what gives us value? Because all those things will fail us. The only thing that won't is a relationship with Jesus and his unconditional grace and love that he gives us. And so you see these parallels and you see these light bulbs, nay, heart bulbs go off with these students who are like, oh, the Old Testament actually applies to my life today. And you're like, yes, because the Old Testament is pointing towards Jesus and Jesus is transformational. And so you're like, what? Like, it's like scripture is real. Scripture is powerful. And so all of you said, Matt, I know you're like, I just asked one question and I went on a rant. Because I'm trying to get scripture and I'm trying to get kids to know the power that that is Jesus and how he's revealed in the word of God. And so people can be the people of God. So, yeah. So that's what I'm trying to focus towards in a lot of different ways. And I'm excited about it. And I have a lot of volunteers who are eager, like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm down for that. Sounds great. And I think the kids showing up, and that's also a thing too, is sometimes people think kids are all about the candy and the games and the fun, and that is 1,000% true. But there is a hunger for the word of God. Like, kids whose parents are not active in church are not church-going people, but they want to be here anyways because there's something about this that to them is working in their brain, working in their like their heart, and going, man, there's something to this. And that's where I'm talking about the relationships with the men of the church going, hey, there is something to this. Let me walk with you. Let me talk with you. Yeah, what was all that thing about Daniel chapter 5 with King Belshazzar? That was weird, right? And like, yeah, like, and you start this conversation, you start this relationship, and then they build this trust with you. And they go, Matt, I trust you. And I, you know what? And I'm struggling. And you're like, yeah, come on, what's going on? This is a judgment-free zone. Tell me, well, where's the hurt at? You know, man, I'm struggling with, you know, I'm angry with my dad all the time, or I'm angry with my mom, or I'm not doing well in school, or I had a breakup with a girlfriend, or we have one kid who's at the youth group because he's on probation. Like, and part of this little thing was he had to go to a church somewhere, and he chose our church to be. And it's like, come on, brother, like, I love you, let's go. And it's this, I don't know, there's... I get passionate about it. I just love the fact that people are craving the word, and we don't have to baby spoon feed them. We just present it to them and walk with them and talk with them, and don't make them feel dumb when they don't know something. Say, hey, that's fine, and be a man enough to go, I also don't know the answer to that, but I can get back to you. That's perfectly acceptable. I've had many times someone goes, who is this? And I go, it's a great question. I'll get back to you with that. Google, who is this person? Got it. Oh, yeah, that guy. Like, you know, just be honest. So, any other questions? Sorry. I go on, right? I know y'all have a time limit, too. I don't want to hold y'all up.
No, stop this. No. Hey, that was wonderful.
Yeah.
You were certainly so personal and sharing, being so courageous about all your trials and tribulations that you had, certainly, and those really tests, as you said, really, as part of that testimony. Yeah. So thank you for being courageous and sharing all that, Ben.
All right.
Yeah, in the business world, we talk about having a say-do ratio, and the doers of the word is so fundamentally necessary. And if you have that feeling, yeah, to go do and to go act upon it. So I'm glad you spoke about James 1:22. It's a new one for me, so I'm glad you mentioned that. Normally we go about table breakouts. Maybe we'll do a real-time table breakout. So I'm just going to do straight into report out. I'm going to go table to table. And if you feel so confident and courageous to share on the couple questions, on one, who you bring into, and two, how can you grow with others? So I'm going to go around and I think at the same time provide the opportunity for any prayers, praises, and I'll take note of that. And then Ben will wrap us up here. So I think we can accomplish that all within a mere 5 minutes. So we have our front table up here. I always like to point to Mr. Kurt. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Well, I mean, as far as who's boring into me, Matt, I mean, it's this mentorship program.
Yeah.
And the fruit of that is to come. So how I will pour that out into others is to be seen, but I'm seeing that light coming.
That's an amazing program there, that radical mentoring program into the leaders that we have leading. Thank you for all that you do.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Any other prayers, praises, Matt, Eric, anything else?
Good.
All right. No, Mr. Bob, did you? Yes, sir.
Bob, there we go. There we go. Now I got the unmute. I just have a prayer request for Cousin Jim Gephardt. He's having outpatient surgery today, and I just pray that the surgery will go well, no complications, and it will accomplish what it's supposed to. I don't know entirely what all is happening, but he described it as outpatient surgery, and I think he would like our prayers for that.
For sure. So glad you mentioned that, Bob. Back left corner. Gentlemen. Aaron, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you want me to say something?
Soft lead in. Da-da-da-da.
Well, I think what I'll take it is I'm not going to answer your question.
But I appreciate the passion, Ben, of pouring into my kids. And I told Joseph, my Joseph is 14, he's a freshman. I told him, wait till you get to the weird parts of Daniel, right, towards the end. There's a lot of questions there, but I appreciate how there are people that care about our kids.
Yeah, praises, prayers. I'll rotate around. We'll go back corner.
Thank you, Ben. You're preaching to the choir, you know. It's always good to hear from a new perspective with a new person in a new church. You got it together. Thank you.
Roger?
You talked about youth and the needs. Well, see, we're in an older class. And I would say 2 to 3 times a month we have new people who come into our class. And they come because they moved here because they have kids here. Mm-hmm. And they want to be near their kids and they want to be near their grandchildren. And ours is not one of imparting wisdom like yours is. Ours is one of taking care of them, helping them feel wanted, helping them adjust to a new place, and helping them become involved. And it's been an interesting experience.
Well, we can continue that trend and serve those needs.
But, you know, your point is, doesn't matter how old you are, people still need pouring into.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah.
But, and it's different types of pouring.
Charles, and there we go. You were pouring out into us just recently on the big screen.
That was my wife. I was just holding bucket.
There we go.
Yeah, no, I guess, yeah, just our class is younger kids. I think we called it 3-year-old mafia at one point. Yeah. I think everybody had a 3-year-old getting a Bible. Everybody left the class that day. But we're excited to have experienced a lot of growth and that kind of stuff. So as far as, you know, pouring into each other, as far as I know a lot of people say it's more, I want to say support group, and get away from the scripture side, but as far as being there for each other, having a group of people with the same values as someone else mentioned before, like a core belief system, core values, and having other adults, as Ben pointed out, even for, you know, for a stage of 40 in a month, that need other people to be those role models, those people who are examples and hold you accountable and that kind of stuff. And those examples and role models, in addition to yourself, for your children to see how other Christian men and families operate, work, and hold themselves. So excellent points that you've had, Ben.
Ben, why don't you come up here, close us out.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and thank you for this opportunity just to gather, God, to be in fellowship, to be in community, to learn and grow with you, God, to have some laughs, have some cheer. God, I pray that there are people that need to be poured into of all ages. Everyone's young in the eyes of eternity. And so how can we pour into one another? How can we love them? How can we be radically hospitable to them, make them feel like they have a place and a purpose, because everyone was created on purpose and for a purpose by you, God. There are people who are hurting out there, and there may be people in this room that are hurting, God, and we just pray for healing, and we pray for guidance, we pray that they know that they're not alone, that the world wants to isolate us. It wants us to be divided. It wants us to be against one another, to where we're by ourselves. Because when we're by ourselves, we're more vulnerable to the temptations of the devil, to fall into sin, fall into a trap. But yet you call us into community and to be a church and be together with one another, because together we're stronger. And God, has prayed that we seek out opportunities to hear the word, to learn the word, but then go out and be doers of the word, to go to create disciples, to go love people, and to say, listen, I don't know your struggles, but I know what love from God looks like and the power that it is. And so who are those people we can find in our lives that we can pour into? Because we are called to go out there and be the hands and feet of Jesus. So God, I pray that this men's group, these young men, can go out there to love people, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and know that you are walking beside them, and that you will do the heavy lifting. And all we get to do is just to spread how awesome you are. In name we pray. Amen.
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 Yes. All right. We'll see everyone next month.
Read this one.
Hey guys.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Kevin.
Hey, man.
See you, man.
We'll see you.
So I actually got a master of geology.